Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 140 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. Today, very excited to welcome back Anna Freeling. She's a recovering addict with 33 years clean. When she realized sugar acts as the gateway drug, priming the brain for all other addictions, a light bulb went off. It is her purpose and privilege to help others recover fully from all outlets of the deadly disease of addiction. She is the author of An Altered Spirit, The 12 Steps and Ebenezer Scrooge. All proceeds of this book benefit places like First Step Home. And as co-founder of SugarX Global, Anna helped develop a system based on care. So that's connection, action steps, recovery, protection, and education as the foundation for addicts to grow, recover, transform. So welcome back, Anna. So excited to have you back with us. We were just looking before we started recording. So the first episode we did was back in October of 2020, episode 69. If you haven't listened to this episode yet, please go back and listen so you can hear Anna's story. We're not going to, you know, we might go into it a little bit today, but we have a lot of other things to talk about today. But her story is incredible. You don't want to miss it. So that's episode 69, and I'll link it in the show notes. But welcome back, Anna. Thanks so much for coming back.
Oh, thanks for having me. Anytime. I just love what you do. I love your take on things. And, you know, it was so fun doing that last interview, and I didn't even know you had a podcast when I did that sugar on you. So that was just a kind of a fun surprise, you know, to be interviewed by you after that.
That's right. So yes, Anna is you know, certified in the sugar tool, S-U-G-A-R. And we've talked about that on the podcast many times. And yeah, so she was the one that went through it with me and saw how, you know, I just tested off the charts. So yeah, that was such an amazing experience. And now, last time we talked too, you were really just getting momentum to start SugarX. So I can't wait to dive in a little bit more about that too. But first, and why I really, really, really wanted to have you back today, was to talk about this book, An Altered Spirit, The 12 Steps and Ebenezer Scrooge. So explain a little bit about what people are going to be like, what? What does that even mean? So explain a little bit about it and why you wrote the book.
So Ebenezer Scrooge, most people can relate to. I think most people in North America anyway are very aware of who Ebenezer Scrooge is, and probably in as well in England. And so in English-speaking nations, I think everybody has an idea of this, you know, this bah humbug kind of character and how greedy he was and how nobody else mattered and only his ability to gain more mattered. And, you know, he was, I think, 12-stepped by Marley, his business partner, who now on the other side could look back and see, I made a mistake, you know, and he came back and he warned Scrooge that there was a chance and a hope of him to escape the same fate and escape the chains. And as you know, addiction means to be enslaved. And I believe that Scrooge was enslaved by he thought that having all this money and all this control, that was going to give him what he needed on the inside. But really, he was the poorest man in the world with all the riches that he could possibly want. And so I think addiction is that way. It lies to us. It tells us more, different, better. If we could just get a little bit more, then we'll feel better. If it would just be a little bit different, then we'll feel better. You know, if we could get something better, then we'll be well. Everything's going to be okay if we can get more, different, and better. And that's not true. It's the lie that the disease of addiction keeps us going on. And then there's the whole moral dilemma, right? Where we feel like we're bad people because we can't control this thing that makes us go after gain, right? Whatever we're trying to gain, however we're trying to get that hit or fix, it doesn't matter because addiction is one disease and there are very many outlets. And so I wrote this book really as a message to addicts, not what kind of addicts. I don't care what your drug of choice or your DOC, as a lot of people refer to it, is. It doesn't matter if it's heroin, if it's sugar, if it's shopping, if it's sex, if it's porn. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're a rageaholic. Maybe you can't help yourself from getting angry and you want to, right? Addicts desperately want to stop doing the thing. And so I wanted this to be an opportunity. It was an opportunity for me to give something back to the world that has been given to me. And that's just kind of this, this wisdom of the 12 steps and the belief that anyone can change no matter what, no matter how bad things are, anyone, no matter the severity of their addiction, they can grow, recover, and transform, as we say at SugarX Global. We truly believe that. And I think the 12 steps are a beautiful, beautiful system that helps you become more of who you were meant to be. It's not some kind of cookie cutter kind of thing that people think, like you're going to turn into a Stepford wife or you're going to be in a cult or something like that. That's not that at all. I also wanted people that have addicts in their lives that they love and wanted them to understand and have some hope for recovery. And so this isn't really a how-to book. It's not even a why-to book. It's a love letter about the steps and about the power of change. When we take one small action, what can happen next? Maybe we get the guts to take that next small action. And before we know it, you know, we're on the road to recovery and we're miracles, really.
Oh, I love this so much. And I'm not a 12 stepper, but I still loved this book and got so much out of it. And first of all, just for you, all those that know Anna or maybe don't, or you can listen to the first interview and know that she is very, very real and authentic and will tell you how it is. And it's the same thing in this book, which I love, like your voice shines, you know, throughout it. I can hear your voice so clearly. And I think I read an interview with someone, it was like a celebrity that said he just thought all people should do the 12 steps, like addict or not, it's going to take you through this process of, like you're saying, really knowing and understanding who you are. And it's just, you know, really powerful. So what was your like inspiration? Like reading them is like, to me, I was like, oh my gosh, there is such a parallel here, but how did you put it together? Like,
well, that to me is a God thing. And I do believe in God. And I believe that the 12 steps can really help a person get out of God's way so that we can serve God and serve others. Because that's how I think that we're happiest. And we just don't know it when we have a purpose and a mission in our lives, whatever it is, but it's not to abuse ourselves and others. And that's what addiction does, right? It harms ourselves and others. So when I was 17, I went to my very first meeting and there, I didn't hear anything. It was like, I didn't want to be there, you know, and I got clean. I got abstinent for a while, not really clean. To me, clean is clean on the inside. Abstinence allows people to recover. And I wasn't in recovery. So obviously my thing didn't work here. Sorry about that. Okay. I'll swipe my human card and we'll move on. So basically, when I went back to meetings after relapsing for several years, when I was 23, somebody read something out of a book that is in my fellowship. And it said something about mistakes are only temporary setbacks, not links in an unbreakable chain. And I, all of a sudden I heard Marley, because I love books and reading. And I've been a reader since I was like 3 years old. And so I could hear Marley saying, you have a chance and a hope, Scrooge, you can break these chains. And I get goosebumps right now just thinking about that moment that I heard those words, because it told me I make mistakes. I'm not a mistake. And I felt such a freedom and a hope. And I could never shake that feeling, or throughout my whole entire recovery, I kept thinking about Marley and Scrooge. And I joked with my husband 25 years ago. I've been clean for 33 years. I joked with him 25 years ago that someday I'm going to write a book about the 12 steps and Ebenezer Scrooge. And he was like, you should do it, babe, because it makes sense. You know, he's in recovery as well. So eventually I just put pen to paper, and it took me a couple of years because I had fear, you know, false evidence appearing real. You can't do this. You're a high school dropout. You know, you got kicked out of high school in the ninth grade. How can you write a book? People won't take you seriously. What do you have to offer the world? And I just thought, you know what? The 12 steps are about getting out of God's way. I feel like this was divinely put into me. I'm just going to do it. And so I did. And here it is. And I spent my own money to do it because I felt like it was so important to get this message out there. And I will not take 1 cent, not even to reimburse myself for publishing this book, because I want to give all the money away to treatment centers that allow parents to stay with their children during the treatment process. So my first check that I received went straight to a place called First Steps Home. And it's in, I believe it's in Detroit. And they allow mothers to stay with their children can stay with the mothers through the treatment process up to 12 years old. And they have a fabulous exit plan too. Like, they have apartments that they can rent to people that don't have a good rental history. Now, they'll get kicked out if they don't, you know, keep up with their contract, but it gives them an opportunity to have rented for a year, so then they can move out and be someone who can be rented to, because addiction, especially drug addiction, stigmatizes people so bad. If you had cancer and you couldn't pay your bills, and you lost your, you know, you lost your ability to pay your bills, a landlord's going to be a lot more like, oh, you know, I'm sorry about that. You know what, I feel like I want to give you a chance. But if you're an addict and you couldn't pay your bills because of your illness, it's stigmatized. And now you're a bad person and I can't have you renting from me, you know? So it's harder for a drug addict, for sure.
Yes. Oh, that's so true. And I love that you're doing this. Like, it's a really a labor of love, you know, is what I'm hearing. It took a while. It was in process for a while, and then putting it together, and then love that all of the proceeds are going to go to places like, I didn't even know, I wasn't even aware of that First Step Home. So I love that so, so much. Is there anything else? We really want to encourage people to go and get the book, which we'll link where they can buy it, of course, in the episode notes. And it is a really, we were talking too, it's a really quick read too. Like, it's not super long. So I think it makes like a great gift for people, for anyone really, because again, you're going to get something out of this book, whether you're an addict or not. But I also like that you wrote it to really all addictions. It wasn't just, you know, sugar addiction, or it really applies to everything. So is there anything else that maybe you just wanted, you know, to share about the book that's with everybody, just anything else maybe to explain about it?
Well, I think that if you feel a resistance to the 12 steps and you're in a 12-step program, it's a great book to read, because I think it'll take away a lot of the fear and angst you may have about potentially, you know, doing a fourth step or that kind of thing, which is a real hang up for a lot of people. Or if you have loved ones that are in a 12-step program and you've witnessed their change, this will help make it clear like what is going on, because I literally go through each step and then I use, of course, the words of Charles Dickens in A Christmas Carol, and I compare and contrast, here's Scrooge with the first ghost and here's step one, right? So it's really powerful that way. And it was so funny, as I was writing the book, I learned more about Charles Dickens. Like, I learned that he was only 32 years old, which you brought up before we came on air. And
incredible.
When he wrote this little book, and did you know also critics hated the book? You know, and I don't expect critics to like my book. This is a book for people with hearts and souls that want to be moved and want to be changed and want to be hopeful, and who are tired of, you know, the bah humbug world we live in, right? Things are possible, and they're possible for anyone. And I think that sometimes we just forget to be hopeful. Hope is a very powerful thing. I consider myself a hope coach. That's what I primarily am. I'm always telling people to knock the T off of can't. Mm-hmm. You know? And then it's not a can't. We think our way into self-destruction, because that part of our brain that's addicted, it wants to stay addicted, right? Once that wiring is there, that 95% is there, it's easier for us to do the same thing over and over again than it is for us to change. So resistance to change, to me, is what really causes pain in people's lives. Mm. And this book was really designed to lower your resistance and increase your hope. Because I think hope gives you it gives you that little nudge you need to maybe do that hard thing that you've been avoiding doing. And I think my favorite part about Charles Dickens' book was when Scrooge woke up on Christmas morning and he laughed and laughed and he said, you know, they've done it all in one night. And he immediately set about to make repairs and make amends. And the way he makes amends is so beautiful, because the first thing he does is he buys the prize goose, you know, for the Cratchits. And he says, they won't even know that it's for me, because it wasn't about him. Oh, Scrooge has changed. It wasn't about him getting recognition. It was about him doing the next right thing for the next right reason. And for that, we can feel good in our own skin. We can feel comfortable in our own body. And that's an amazing thing to feel at home in your home, which is you, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, such a good message. I love that so much. And I think for people that you just help me gain greater clarity of the 12 steps too. Like you were saying, you know, cause I think it's intimidating for people a lot of times. They're like, well, 12, what does that even mean? And even reading through them, sometimes it's like, I need a translation. And that's basically what this is, right? So you talk what this step is, and then you translate it to, you know, the story with Ebenezer and give an example of how he would go about this step. So I think that was really great too, because I'm like, oh, okay. Like it just made so much sense to me. So again, I think that's why this could be such a great book for so many different people for so many, you know, different reasons. So I'm so grateful that you wrote this and finally did it, because I just think it's completely unique too. Will you also explain, I was realizing we kind of were talking about it before we were recording this though, but you had mentioned you wanted to write it in your voice, but not about your story, and talked a little bit about why that is too. Because your story is so fascinating. It's, you know, again, listen to episode 69, but yeah, talk about that a little bit too.
Well, this is what I believe about myself and what I believe about all addicts in general. Addicts are garden variety. We all suffer from the same thing, and our stories are different, but our suffering is very similar. It doesn't matter if you're a rich person who's a shopaholic and a food addict, you know, or if you're a Skid Row bum. On the inside, how you feel is going to be similar. And I think that the hallmarks of the disease of addiction are isolation and alienation. And of course, Scrooge was completely isolated and alienated. Christmas was a humbug. He wasn't going to go spend any time with any people. Why? Because he had fear. In fact, his fiance that he broke up with said, "You fear the world too much." That was one of the things that she said to him. You know, and I think that that's what addiction does to us. And so I feel like with a character rather than a real human being story, because we all know Scrooge is fictional. It just is enough of a disarming aspect where you can't compare yourself to Scrooge because he's not even real. No ghosts are going to come and visit you. You know, this is not going to happen to you. Marley's not going to come, but you can then suspend your resistance. You can suspend your, you can suspend your disbelief or your hangups and just kind of get open-minded enough to like just enjoy the ride and let the story unfold and start seeing the similarities between yourself and Scrooge, right? Between yourself and Marley, between yourself and Bob Cratchit, because none of us are all good or all bad. That's not true. You know, we're human beings and we have a full range of emotions and we all have gifts and we all have liabilities. And I think that it helps put you in the boat of being human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Oh, so good. Well, I really cannot recommend highly enough for everyone to go out and buy a copy of this book. We'll make sure we link how to do that here in the episode notes. And then please reach out to Anna. She loves hearing from you all. You know, when you do read the book, we'll have how to get a hold of her as well through SugarX. But yeah, please buy this and, you know that it's all proceeds again are going to these amazing organizations as well. Another thing, Anna, I wanted to talk to you about today because you do this so beautifully. You know, you'll say a lot that addiction is one disease with many outlets. And I think this is kind of a good segue when you're talking, you know, we're not just talking food addiction, you're talking covering all addictions. Like, talk to us more about that concept and what you mean by that.
Well, Bitten Johnson taught me the phrase, you know, one disease, many outlets. And she has something that she says that addiction is like the ocean and we are like a boat on the ocean. And addiction is always looking for a crack to get in. So we have to have a recovery management program. We cannot just, you know, think that we're going to stop doing the thing. And the thing is just the thing, okay? So sugar is just sugar and shopping is just shopping and sex is just sex and porn is just porn. Addiction is the rewiring that was done in my brain. So there aren't different addictions. There's one addiction and there's many things that we could be addicted to, right? Or that could be a specific problem for us. To me, my addiction is manifesting itself whenever I am causing myself harm by what I'm putting into myself, including my thoughts, what I'm not doing, if I'm harming myself by not doing my self-care, because I believe that recovery is really good self-care. That's what it really is. And so all of these outlets, you know, we're susceptible. So once we get rid of one outlet, like say, you know, for me, my story was first the drugs and the alcohol went, right? And then the cigarettes went, and then the sugar went, and then the coffee went. So that's my story. And so it's, I had all of these outlets and I cannot even be trusted to play Candy Crush on the phone. I can't. I have no games on my phone. And I tried to moderate. I was like, okay, well, what about a decorating game? Surely you can't get hooked to a decorating game, but you know what they do? They make it so that you have to buy furniture or they put you in a competition so that you get rewards. And if you don't get rewards, you want to play some more. So you get rewards. I can't believe they didn't vote for me was what my brain was saying, right? So I would be eating dinner and I would think, I want to just play. It would be the obsession and compulsion, right? That's what addiction is. I was obsessed with these decorating games. When I thought I can't handle the Candy Crush and I can't handle all these kind of puzzle games, and I tried to do something different and it didn't work. And so for me, recovery is, I get honest that this thing isn't for me. It's not my thing. It's a thing that, you know, rewires my brain. And the truth is we're supposed to want pretty shiny things, but we're in an artificial environment now. We're not living in times where when we were going after things that we truly needed for survival, like shelter and real food, those things would have given us a big high, like, yes, we did it. We're going to survive. We're going to make it through the winter. But the reward was so big, you know, it was meaningful, right? It wasn't like ding, 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 ha ha, I won the decorating game. You know, now I got to stay on top, right? It's this artificial kind of rewards that are what's the problem for our archaic brain, right? That still wants to survive. And so So I think we have to find meaningful things that we're passionate about, but that we're not obsessive and compulsive about.
And that can be like such a fine line too, right? Like it can start out, you're just passionate, and then you notice, oh wow, it's getting to be more obsessive, compulsive. And like you said, having those thoughts during dinner already, thinking about, you know, your game and when you're going to play, like that next hit kind of mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where you can see, like, the, to me, the difference is, does it cause harm? So that harms my family when I'm not fully present for them because I'm thinking about other things. Mm-hmm. It harms me because now my relationship to the game is more important than my relationships to human beings. So me, it's the, how do I tell if it's obsession and compulsion or if it's passion? I can put my passion down and be present for my family, but I cannot put my obsession and compulsion because I'm not doing the thing is doing me. And that game was doing me. And I use that language in my book. Mm-hmm. You know, when you feel like you cannot control the thing, then the thing is controlling you. That's probably an outlet. And it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful. I'm so glad that we're talking about that because I think so many people relate to that. And I like just asking yourself that question, is it causing harm? You know, and really being honest with yourself about that. So that's huge. And I also love that you just said recovery is really good self-care because I agree, you know, 1000% with that and have found that time and time and time again in my own journey when I'm slipping or, you know, struggling, it's like, yep, but self-care is not firm. It's like my first thing, get that back into place. So, and for me, that looks like a lot of different things, you know, it's not just one little thing a day. It takes a lot. And I love that that's part, you know, one thing that's talking about sugar X a little bit. You know, you have that system of care. So there's connection, right? Which they'll say is the antidote to, you know, addiction is having connection, the action steps. And then the R is recovery protection. And I love that piece. I mean, I think before some people were calling it relapse prevention, but the recovery protection just makes it so much more empowering. Again, on that positive note, like you're talking about, you know, it's so important to put that kind of more positive spin on it. And then education is the E. But I think that recovery protection piece is so, so critical. And
absolutely.
Not all, you know, programs that you might do, especially like for me, I'm thinking when I used to do like a 10-day sugar detox or a 30-day sugar detox, like just, it wasn't really made for true addicts. So, you know, that recovery protection is such a big part of our recovery. And a big part of that, I would say, is that self-care in that, right?
Absolutely. But it's also identifying triggers and warning signs. Mm-hmm. So for us, recovery protection is really a system. And we actually give that away for free because we don't want any addict to go without recovery protection. But at SugarX Global, that's our main focus because stopping is one thing. Staying stopped is the hard part, right? So how do you stop and stay stopped? And then how do you stay stopped from all of those outlets that we were just talking about? Because once you have an addicted mind, again, your brain is going to look for an outlet. And so how do I protect myself from that? And so we use our three C's. We use our trigger-free triangle, and we use our three P's. And our three C's are cues, customs, and consequences. And our trigger-free triangle that Dave, you know, wrote about in his book, The Fix for Cravings, those are, you know, debate. Debate is if you're thinking, should I or shouldn't I? No, the answer is no, right? Guilt. Am I going to feel guilty if I do it? Then the answer is no, don't do it. And romance. Am I going to sneak, lie, and cheat to do this thing? Because sneaking and lying and cheating, I'm hiding, right? I'm having a little affair with the food or the game or the shopping. You know, if I can't tell that, if I can't do it in front of God and everybody, then I probably shouldn't be doing it, right? I don't need to be cheating on myself, because we cheat ourselves when we do that. Mm. And then three P's are plan, prepare, and protect. So how are we going to change that cue? So for a lot of people, like say nighttime eating, right? So it's nighttime. I sit down on the couch to watch TV. So being a couch potato is the cue, right? So what's the custom? I just mindlessly munch, right? I eat whatever I can and until I'm sick, you know? And then you don't stop until you run out, or your show is over, it's time for bed, whatever the reason you stop. And what's your consequences? You feel guilty, you feel ashamed, you feel sick, you feel physically ill, you feel disappointed with yourself. So how are we going to change that? We plug in Judy's three P's: plan, prepare, and protect. What are we going to do different? We still have the same cue. What's our new custom? For me, that's a cup of hot tea or a nice glass of ice water. And, you know, and I get to watch my favorite show with my family, but the couch is now a no food zone for me, you know? And then how do I get to feel? And I could have other things in there. What's my new custom? Maybe I call what we call a capability partner, somebody that can hold you capable of not eating food on the couch, because you know what, there is no food emergency. And we talk about the red dog as our, you know, we use Bitten's red dog, blue dog, and the red dog is that disease part of our brain. And the red dog's going to howl for that food, but the red dog can't get up and feed himself. Only you can do that. So if you put in place some customs that are going to help you change, then you're going to have consequences that you like, because consequences can be good or bad. So you're going to have positive things happen to you. So we believe that recovery protection is a good 50 to 70% of your recovery management or addiction management. And most people want addiction to be this one and done thing, but addiction is a chronic and progressive disease. So it doesn't matter. It's not going away, and it's going to change and morph. So I look at it, I gamify my recovery. I like to have fun with it. I say to the red dog, well, I call it, you know, I call it KFUCK radio. That's what I call it. I say, good morning, KFUCK. I know you're there. And then I say, hey, God, what's up? What's on the plate today? What are we doing today? And so I immediately recognize and say, I know you haven't gone anywhere, disease, and I know you want to mess me up today. Hey, God, how are we going to, you know, do this? And if you don't believe in God, think of it as good, orderly direction, the universe, whatever. But there is a power greater than you, and the food proved it. If you're listening to this show, then you know you were powerless over food. So that was a power greater than yourself. So don't tell me you don't have a power greater than yourself, because I won't believe it. Mm-hmm. And there goes some of the Anna telling it like it is.
Piece. Yes, keeping it real with Anna. Again, that's why I love the book, because that keep it real is sprinkled throughout. So yeah, but oh, all that you're saying is just so, I'm just like nodding along, like, just so true. And I'm just so glad that we're saying this again. I know you've talked about it before. I know I've had other people talk about it before, but it is, as we know, so important for us to hear the same messaging over and over again as a reminder, because I think sometimes, you know, you're like, well, I'm going to be different or whatever. I don't have to do, you know, but it's so good to remember that. Yeah, no, like this really is the way that it kind of works for everybody, and why that recovery protection is so critical and important. And I love all those things, the three P's, the three C's, and that trigger-free triangle. And even just that debate, if it's a debate, it's a no. You know, and that was always like my mantra that I said, you know, nope, I don't do that anymore. I just don't. And I've been using that even when it's like that other outlet trying to pop up. Nope, I don't do that. You just can cover everything. And to me, again, yeah, that's so easy just to say no, then try to moderate and say, well, maybe a little bit, you know. But what else? Tell us a little bit more about SugarX, because again, so just an update on it. I think when we interviewed everyone, it was, you know, end of 2020, and it hadn't quite launched. So when was the official, you know, launch? And talk to us a little bit. Now I'm really excited. I should just say this to everyone listening too. We're actually going to have Dave back, Dave Wolf, and his mom, Judy Wolf, and Anna. All three of them are going to be on the season finale at the end of June. And we'll talk more about SugarX and what they're doing. But in the meantime, just, you know, for people that might have, don't even know what it is, or, you know, tell us a little bit more about like what it is, when it kicked off, and what people can expect now that it's kind of, it's really grown.
It really has grown. And our community is absolutely fantastic. And they make us better. They make us better coaches. They just light me up inside and out. And so we opened up, it'll be a year this month, I believe on the 28th or 29th of this month, we actually opened our doors after our first 5-day, or we began our first 5-day challenge. And our members from that time, you know, we were off to a bumpy start. We were a new business and we didn't lie about that. They made us better. Like we have an area in our SRX village or SRX recovery community is what we call it. And so in our recovery community, we have an area called Commitment Corner. That was an idea from our members. We also have Tell on Red. That was an idea from our people that joined us. So we feel like we've created a space for you, not for us, for you. And we work for our mission. And our mission is to help sugar addicts recover one bite at a time globally and regardless of severity. So that's our mission. So we truly believe that anyone can recover, and we really do a lot of recovery protection. We have over 14 groups a week now, and we have members running book clubs, and we have trained three of our members actually went to Gorski's relapse prevention training, and Gorski is the top of the line relapse prevention that there is. And so, of course, we call it recovery protection. And those two run meetings. One of them runs meetings on, and I think you're interviewing one of them, Karen Hanna. Are you going to be interviewing her?
Yep, I am. Yep, she'll be on. Actually, she's the episode after you.
Oh, awesome.
Perfect introduction.
So she's running groups on connection. She's helping people get over their fear of connection, right? Because we're so afraid if someone gets to know us, are they going to, you know, that rejection piece, are they going to reject us? And we really make it easy for people to get over that because we don't have rules in our community. So in other words, if you're in our community and you want to reach out to another member, you can. In fact, some of our members have WhatsApp groups. There's WhatsApp group in Europe, there's WhatsApp group in Canada, you know, so these people are in constant connection, and we encourage you to reach out and get a partner to buddy up with, because we think you're adults and you should be getting into living, not relying on us for everything. In fact, we feel like we're kind of a hub where we bring everything together, and we don't want to stop you from doing anything else that's going to propel your growth so that you can have the transformation and the freedom you want in your life. So we're really not competitive. And then we have our accelerator program, which is amazing. And we changed that from 9 weeks to 18 weeks. And that's partially on the recommendation of our clients as well. They said, you know, 90 minutes twice a week was too much for them, because we give you a lot of kind of mind-blowing. We don't do secret handshakes. We want you to get well as fast as possible and stand on your own 2 feet as fast as possible. And then, you know, if you want to be with us, you want to be with us because we do deliver some energy and inspiration for your recovery. Like, I think you have to be enthusiastic about ongoing recovery because the disease isn't going anywhere. So we like to just kind of fuel that enthusiasm in our groups. Dave did a story time this morning, which was awesome. I went to it at 6 o'clock my time this morning. And it was an amazing story about, I think it was called Talks Like a River. And it was about a little boy with a stutter. And it was just amazing to hear everyone share. So we're very creative, and we think you should be too. We think you should create the life you want to live. And even when it comes to your recovery protection plan, that has to be unique to you, because Siobhan, you're not me. Foods I can eat, maybe you can't eat, and vice versa, or things you can do might not be good for me. So we encourage people to identify their very own triggers. So we do a lot of work alone together. And so we might give like a prompt and have everybody work alone in a group for like 5 minutes. And then we might have breakout rooms where you discuss what you did. But we know from experience that say you're an introvert, and I'm not, I'm kind of in the middle, believe it or not. I know I seem like an extrovert, but that's not true. I get energy from both sides. And so, but I might speak up because I'm really quick too. I'm acetylcholine fast thinker, and I might say something and you might not be able to think then if you're a slower thinking person or you're not designed like Anna is. So I might railroad all over you and steamroll over what you were thinking. So that work alone time gives everybody a minute to get their own thoughts down and to have their own agency in their recovery. So we really work hard to make sure everyone gets to recover and everyone gets to participate in a level that they feel comfortable. So the small groups, somebody introverted might feel really good about sharing there, but they might not want to share in a group of 15 or 30 people.
Ooh, I just love that you're even recognizing that, because drives me nuts when people are like, this one way works for everybody. Like, you know, and I failed so many diets because I thought that was the case. So I am a true believer in everyone's recovery journey looks different. That's my whole spiel about everything. What works for me doesn't work for you. And you have to find what works for you. And that's what's going to make it sustainable. Not what works for Anna. That's not going to be sustainable for you. It's going to be sustainable for Anna. But never to then like further apply that to actually how to learn and help yourself with that is so beautiful. I love this because it is true. Some of us are like faster thinkers, or I've been in those situations. I too probably seem extroverted, but it can be a little introverted and not as quick to speak up. So I totally get like what you're saying. I did a parenting class recently and it was very interesting because I did not speak up a lot. And then like you said, when other people were reacting, it did kind of railroad my own thoughts. Like I didn't even think about that till you just said that. So I do love that you give that space for people to learn at their own pace and come, because so much of that is like self-reflecting and coming to your own conclusion. So having that little time before sharing, because sharing is so powerful. We know that too, the sharing part and all the group coaching I do, that honestly is the most powerful, that everyone's like, that was amazing, is hearing from other people. But having time to process and think yourself first too is so, so crucial. So I love that. And also I love this from the very beginning is that approach to helping all people, wherever you're at, you know, in the recovery, you know, whether you're just starting out or you've had, you know, 33 years sobriety, like wherever you are, there's something for everybody. And different coaches with different styles, because some of that is so important. You know, I hear from people sometimes that tried a group and it just didn't fit them and they thought it was them. I'm like, no, like try again. There is a group that's gonna like feel good to you. So I like that you kind of offer, you know, different flavors, if you will, you know, of coaches and support. So really, I feel like SugarX just kind of encompasses everything, really. I mean, that's what's so amazing about it. You guys really have thought about everything. So I'm so proud of you and so glad that I can't believe it's been a year. So I'm just like so excited to talk to the three of you and maybe that's what we'll reflect back on that year and what you've learned and, you know, but we are actually almost out of time with all that said. And I just am curious, is there anything else that we didn't get to today that you wanted to share, or just anything on your heart that, you know, last words of wisdom or just, you know, anything that's kind of coming to mind right now? Because I know the time always goes so fast.
It does go so fast. And the only thing I can think that, you know, if you're suffering out there, there is a solution for you. You just don't give up. Don't quit trying, you know. Don't quit trying to quit the sugar. Don't quit trying to find a solution and reach out to different people. We have a free group on Thursdays, which isn't designed like our regular groups because we just can't do that. But usually we have a speaker. We've had Siobhan. We've had all kinds of people on there. We've had even, you know, doctors and different people like that maybe don't understand addiction as well, but can answer other questions for us, because addiction affects every part of our lives, but I just want to tell you guys, don't give up on yourself no matter what, because there's no such thing as hopelessness. I stand by that from the beginning. If you're, even if you're eating while you're listening to this, and I know some of you are, and I know you desperately want to stop, I promise you, you can stop. You can stop. It right now might not be your time, but your time is coming. Don't give up.
Love that. From the Hope Coach herself, keep it real. Anna Freeling. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, this was just a great conversation. And I'm already looking forward to our follow-up at the end of June. So thank you so much. And thank you for writing that amazing book too. Again, we'll make sure there's links to buy the book, how to get in touch with you, and how to, you know, check out Sugar X. I'll put that website up there as well. So thank you so, so much, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. And remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.